Luke 11, verse 5. Jesus has just taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer. Verse 5. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Over to you, Peter.
Good morning once again. Let's just start by praying. Dear Lord, we are so grateful for this wonderful day that you've given unto us. Thank you that we are gathered here to continue worshiping and listening to you. And I pray that you're going to speak to us. Help our hearts. We're going to listen to you. We're going to hear from you. And that, Lord, we are going to respond lightly. And help me, Lord, as I speak. Pray that you give me clarity, and that my words or even my use of language will not be a hindrance to your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Can I just lift this one up a bit?
I might get louder.
You might get louder, yeah. Oh, what? Are you saying you might because you're African?
Yeah. Thank you so much. So we, please do keep your Bibles open on Luke chapter 11 there, verses 5 to 13. It's good that we have fathers here with us. They're amazing people in lots of ways, I'm sure, though with a lot of weaknesses. When I was preparing this, I remembered one of the good friends from my organization back in Kenya used to visit their family in Nairobi. And every time he would prepare some toast, they would always get burnt. And so the children would always say, oh, I don't want a burnt toast, Daddy. But every time, that would be the result. But I'm sure as we'll think about our fathers here and our daddies here, there are lots of good things that we can think about them. Although some of them might be having some weaknesses, like I was sharing. But it's good that today, what we are going to be looking at is not just our own fathers here on earth, good as they might be, and some of them might not be very great, but we are going to be looking at our Father in heaven and why we can boldly and with a lot of boldness talk to him and ask him anything. You know, I was just encouraged when Tim was talking about we can talk to him, we can ask, and that's just immediately what Jesus is talking about, that we can go to him and talk to him. And as we talk about prayer, it's good maybe just to give a caveat, because most of the times prayers can be mistaken to be a religious duty with set times, styles, and standards. Sometimes it can be seen as a career for some people who likes it. You know, some people say, I'm not good at praying. But as we're going to see, what Jesus makes it appear in this particular passage is just a normal. It's just a normal thing. And as we've just seen some of the examples, it's just normal for a child to ask his father, can you buy me an ice cream? It's just normal. It's not something that a child needs to be good at. No, it's just a need. It arises out of a need. And that is something that we are going to be looking at here. But also the illustration of the request of a friend at midnight. Again, when I was preparing these, I might say, friends, at some point I was laughing because I thought, in your culture here, maybe this one is not very common. But I come from a place where you really be experiencing visitors who don't necessarily tell you that they are coming up front. They'll just knock at your door and you'll find them there. And so we're going to divide this passage into three portions. One, we start with a bold request from the midnight friend. The bold request from the midnight friend, verses 5 to 8. So the story we are told here, Jesus has just been teaching the disciples on prayer. And he tells them of an illustration. Suppose a friend has arrived in the midnight and you have nothing to give them. And you go to your friend next door, next neighbor, and ask for bread. Now, it's a weird time, is it? And it's a weird behavior, like I've just said. But imagine of a friend, especially in that culture, in those days, arriving at midnight. He has probably traveled for miles and miles, maybe even days, and has just arrived at midnight, tired, and you just offer them some water to shower or to have a bath at their feet. And the friend maybe says, let me go and prepare for you some bread. And the disaster is, the friend does not have anything to set before them. Now, again, it's good for us to be able to recognize this, that for this kind of culture, showing hospitality by giving your friend food is a very important thing. It is something that you cannot imagine not doing. So look at what he says in verses 6b. Because a friend of mine on journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Now that's a big thing. Not being able to provide for your visitor is a big thing. It's an embarrassment. It's unacceptable in that particular culture. And it's not just, I was just thinking, even in my own culture, if you visited us and we didn't provide you food or even tea without sugar, that's such a big thing. That's such an embarrassment. And you just need to do everything possible to be able to provide. So what we are having here is somebody who is desperate. He's desperate because a friend has come and they cannot be able to provide for them. So what do they do? Jesus says, suppose you go to a friend, a neighbor. And again, I was just thinking, it's not necessarily that a neighbor is 1 minute away. You're probably crossing plantations to go and reach to this neighbor. You're probably crossing homes and homes to go and just get to this neighbor. And so he goes to the neighbor and he knocks the door. It's at midnight. And the neighbor says, I am in bed with my children. Now, that one sometimes looks like it's a lewd thing to say, but the truth is it's not. It's not because if you imagine at midnight and your children are asleep, as in yesterday I was hosted by a wonderful family, and I remember because their kid Aris was already asleep, we almost went to bed tiptoeing because we didn't want to make noise. Now you can imagine at midnight somebody is knocking your door and they want you to open and they are shouting from outside, I've got a friend, can you help me with some bread? You'd be saying, shh, I'm with my children, don't even shout, I cannot come out. And the thing is, the disciples here are thinking, that is frustrating. Why should you go to a friend at that particular time? But the truth on the background is, this is a friend in need. This is a friend who is so desperate that he just needs bread to give to his neighbor. And he hears the knocks, and the person inside is probably thinking, what am I going to do with this person? And I asked a friend of mine from Africa, what would you do? And he told me, you just have to give him bread. You cannot chase him away. Because again, the part of it being hospitable, you're just thinking, this person has taken all the pain to come and ask me for bread. They have nowhere else to go. They have no other option. And in fact, if you told them to go away, they have nowhere probably to go. You are the only person they know. But the other truth is, the other friend outside is thinking, I cannot go anywhere. I'm just going to stand here and probably just knock. Because I cannot face my friend and tell them, sleep, we are going to cook tomorrow. No, it's not just acceptable. And Jesus is giving these wonderful example and illustrations to bring out something here that is so profound. The desperateness with which we are supposed to come to God in prayer is something to learn here. This friend has no option but to provide for his friend. But the other thing is, he doesn't have bread. But he knows one thing, my neighbor has bread and he is able to provide. And that's some double truth there, that I have a neighbor who can be able to provide, but on the other hand, there is a friend that I need to feed. And if there's something that we can be able to take from these friends, it's just a scene from the desperate nature that Jesus is trying to teach them. I bet you and I, sometimes we think of prayer in terms of, oh, is this wonderful thing that I've got to plan and put well-rehearsed things. And it's good that we normally have wonderful prayers that are read for us. It's a good discipline. But what Jesus is making and is doing, he's making it to be just a normal thing. This friend was not expecting a friend at midnight. No, they did not call. You can be sure those days there was no poster, no telephone to be able to call and say, I'm coming. No, they don't have all that. It's just somebody who has just turned up. And Jesus says, you've got to provide for them. But what do you have? You are desperate and you need to provide. And being desperate or unashamed in our request is a good challenge. So even the embarrassing things we think of in life, sometimes we try to struggle with things, don't we? I remember struggling when I came first in England just with a microwave. Just opening the door of a microwave, it was so frustrating. It took me some time to get my head around it. But I remember it was so easy. I asked my host, how do you open this? And he said, you just push this. I thought, oh my. I should have asked from the right beginning. And sometimes because we are so much ashamed of doing that, that prevents us even going before God. And some of these things could be huge. We might not be so much in need of bread, I presume, most of us. But there are so many things that we can be desperate about and not risk even just getting our heads around to know God and to understand God. And that's something that we have just to come to God. God, I cannot get my head around it. I just need you to help me. But the good promise that we get here, even before the end of it, is a good promise that this friend gets. Look at verses 8 with me. What happens? Look at the answer. I tell you, for he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend. Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And that's a good encouragement for us to take. Because in as much as it looks like an embarrassing time, the result of it, the end of it, is that he gets the answer. He gets all he needs. In fact, I like the words there. Probably he gets bread and maybe he says, and can I have like, I don't know whether they had butter in those days. But he asks for, you know, can I have this and this? And he gets all of it. And probably the disciples and you and I would be amazed and say, oh, that sounds a bit easy. And Jesus says, yeah, it is. Look at the next bit of it, verses 9 and 10, the certain response to prayer. Look at what Jesus is saying. Not only that, he's just affirming the fact that he's going to get. Let me just read those verses. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, can I say that this one is not, Jesus is not saying that we have to play hide-and-seek game with God. You know, he is hiding here, no, he is hiding there, no. It is just the degree of the intensity, of the boldness. If I'm there and I'm courageous, I'm going to find it. Jesus is saying, you are going to have it. It's just an assurance that as we pray, as we seek, as we find, you know, we are going to get it. So he says, if you ask, you're going to receive. If you knock the door, it's going to be open for you. And that's a brilliant thing for us to know. But Jesus is just affirming. It's not just that you are there outside asking and seeking for it. But the truth is, you are going to receive it. And he has just shown us the man inside, though he did not wake up because he is his friend, yet, because that guy was bold, he woke up and he gave him what he wanted. And friends, it's a good thing, an encouragement for us as we think about prayer. Because sometimes the fear about prayer is God going to answer me? Is God going to be with me? One of the things I was praying for is, you know, I am young and I'm so much passionate about preaching the gospel. But what about when I'm 50? And it's a good thing for me to get encouragement that even then, the God is still going to be holding me. And that's a brilliant thing we can know about that. That once we pray to God, He Himself is going to answer us. But more than that, in verses 3, in division number 3, verses 11 to 13, we get this illustration of a better and a greater Father. Now, we have just talked about how our fathers are great and they are nice. If you ask them things, they will give you. And even my father is great. He might not have been there a lot of time. But it's wonderful just to think about this illustration, how Jesus is using it. And Jesus asked them questions. Look at verses 11 to that. Let me just read. It's wonderful. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Is there anyone here who will do that? No. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? No. And you can imagine the disciples were responding, no, I will not do that. My son will not ask me for a fish, and I go and give them a scorpion or a snake. No. Instead, I'm going to give them a fish. And that's the same way. Imagine if you're walking along the street and your child spots some nice ice cream and they say, Daddy, can I have that? But you're not going to pick a stone on the way and say, Darling, here is your ice cream. No. But instead, as a good father, what are you going to do? You're going to buy for them the ice cream. Beautiful. Thank you. Wonderful. And that's what Jesus is saying. If you, one that is limited, one that sometimes, like I've just given my own story, can be a bad father, if you can't be able to give good things, what about God who is in heaven? And that's the brilliance of it. God is saying, look, that is you. If you as a father, that is what you're going to do, what about your great God who is in heaven? And the fact is, Jesus is saying, this is a father who is not perfect. The other fathers are not perfect. But we have this good God, perfect God, who is in heaven. And His delight is to give His children good gifts. But not only that, but He is also a greater God. Because there are some of the things that even though I wanted, my father might not be able to do. So if you're walking on the street and you spotted a nice car and your son said, can I have that Ferrari? You might say, that's wonderful, son, but I might not be able to buy it. But the good thing about it is our God who is in heaven is greater than our Father who is here on earth. And that is a point of assurance that the Father that we are praying to is more better, but it also is more greater. Look at what He's able to give. At the end of that, He's saying, verses 13, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now, Holy Spirit is something that Tim cannot give to his children. He cannot. No matter how much good he might want. It's the same thing. You can bring your children here to hear the gospel. You can take them to church. You can buy Bibles for them. It's a good thing. You can take them to the camp. But you cannot give them the Holy Spirit. But who can? It's a God in heaven. Is a Father in heaven. And that is the reason why we can actually approach Him and pray to Him. So do you see that? That even though the human fathers may be limited in terms of the things that they can give, what a wonderful thing. What a great assurance. What a wonderful thing that we do have a Father who is able to give all those things. And that is comforting for me. That is comforting message. Every day I'm thinking, wow, even though my Father cannot give all this, but what about the God in heaven? The Father in heaven, He can be able to give all this. And so friends, one of the things that is assumed all over in the passage, both from the friend at midnight and even to God, I'm just saying it, is the ability to give. They have the ability. And the assumption that the bread, that the neighbor has the bread, he's able to give, the father is able to buy fish. Now I assume in that particular time, fish was probably just something that was maybe cheap, something that Jeff have picked on the street. Not necessarily picking, but you could have been able to afford to give. But another the question is, are they willing? To which the answer in this passage is, God our Father is willing and able to give it. But there's also an idea of dependence on God and others. Now, on the first instance, is a neighbor who has to be dependent on his neighbor. Why? Because he doesn't have bread. But his neighbor, friend, has bread. But on the other illustration is a father who has to is a son who has to be dependent on the father. And I say there is a joy, and those of you who are parents here will probably agree with me, when as a parent you buy or you provide for your children. If your child asks for a pair of shoes and you are able to provide that and you can see them smiling, it brings joy to you. And I tell you what, the same things even for our God. He delights in giving us the good gifts. He delights in giving us His Holy Spirit. He delights in seeing us come to Him and say, Father, can I have this? Father, can you give me this? And it is, in as much as it is the joy of your children to rejoice when you give them good gifts, it is also your joy as a parent to see them rejoice that you have given them good gifts. And it is the same for our Father. He is already willing and delighted to give us good gifts. So dear friends, as I come to the end, seeing then that we have such a great, able, and willing Father in heaven who is ready to answer our prayers, let us with boldness make it our delight to pray regularly, to walk to Him and to ask Him, and to know that He is always ready to hear from us. And not only that, He is much willing and able, far much able, that you, the fathers who are seated here, or even all the parents who are seated here, far much able that they can be able to give even to their children. I think of it. Even though you as a parent, you might be here, but you know what? In 80 years' time, that's a lot of years, you probably not be there, but your children will continue being there. So in as much as you might want to be there and provide for them, one thing we can be assured is that we have a Father who is not limited in terms of His ability or even His availability. As in, if anything was to happen to me now here, my father back in Kenya cannot be able to help me. And that's the same. Even with the time, our own fathers here on earth, as most of you who are old will know, maybe they are no more. But what about our God in heaven? He was, He is, and He will continue to be. God bless you so much. Let me pray. Lord, we are so delighted that we can hear from you and learn from you. And thank you that you're a great Father, able, and one who delights to give us good gifts. Thank you that we can learn and have that assurance. Lord, help us that these things, Lord, will stick in our minds and in our hearts, and we'll be moved with a lot of boldness to approach you and to pray to you regularly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you so much.
You're not allowed to stand down yet. Oh. Our custom is to take questions or observations from the floor.
Oh.
So are there things that have occurred to you as Peter's been preaching that we will answer together? We'll have a go at. Stu is right up front.
Peter, can you say a little bit more to us on what it means to be given the Holy Spirit?
Oh, brilliant. I'll try. Because Jesus did not explain a lot there in that particular passage. But I think one, it's just a comparison of a father who is giving this fish and all that, but God who is able to give Holy Spirit, which is far much more. But I would take it that the Holy Spirit is actually having God with us. So that gift of even just being saved, salvation, to which most of us, if you are a believer, that is a gift that you have received from God. And that is a wonderful thing to have. And it's the greatest and wonderful gift that you can ever receive from God.
Super. I wouldn't have said more. Caroline.
Thank you very much. Really encouraging just to focus on who God is and that He wants to help us and that we're dependent on Him. I just wanted to check something, and that was like, if I can't ask my own father for a Ferrari because he can't afford it, can I ask God?
That's, I would say yes. And I would say because God provides in various ways. So as I pray to God to provide me with food, He might provide that food through Tim. Yeah.
Hang on. Are you saying I might provide Caroline with a Ferrari?
Oh! Yeah, if you are able. If you are able. Yeah. I think maybe to add on that is that even our own fathers don't always give us things when we ask. And the reason is sometimes we ask things that we are not right or we don't need them. So even myself, if I asked for a Ferrari, I don't think it would be wise for anybody to give me. I don't even have roads to walk with it. And I can't ride it, yeah.
Can you drive?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. But not a Ferrari.
So I think the answer we all know is sometimes it's right for us when our children ask for things to say that's not appropriate for you to have. Mm. That is the right answer. And sometimes it's inappropriate for our children to ask for things, and it's good for them to learn that. But I don't want that to be any limitation on us being bold in asking God for things that are in line with what he has said are good. So let's be bold in our prayer, and much in line with what Jesus is saying. Bolder than we are. Unembarrassed, or at least prepared to get over the embarrassment about asking for things. And asking for things early, rather than waiting until we realize we should have asked weeks ago. I think that's right.
What happens if you keep on asking, you think it's in line with God's will, and you don't get an answer?
Well, if you don't get what you're asking for, you are not getting an answer.
Yeah.
You might be getting an answer which is not yet. Well worth taking that issue that you're asking God for to other Christians and say, is it right for me to be asking God for this? When God has not promised healing instantly, is it right to be asking God for healing instantly? I think it's right to be asking God for healing. But timescale-wise, persistent boldness seems to be fitting what Jesus is saying. If it's in line with his will, let's do that. I don't say this is always easy, and actually one of the hardest things for children, let alone us, is to wait for the good thing that we know God wants to give us. It's just not yet.
Yeah, I'm always encouraged by Psalm, you know, Psalm 22. You know, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, I cry out to you, but you're so far from my groaning. And that's actually the... And then he goes on to say, yeah, you're the one enthroned, you're the Holy One enthroned in heaven, and I still trust in you.
And
Jesus quoted it on, yeah. Mm.
So, yeah, we're not without precedent. Jesus has asked God for things and couched his prayer with, yet not my will, but your will be done.
Mm.
That hasn't stopped him asking for things, but he's trusting that God's will is sovereign, is right. Yeah, Psalm 22, great. At the back, Joanna.
Your turn, Peter.
Peter, I found it really helpful that you made the distinction, or at least you made it clear that it's about our Father who is able to answer, not that he will, and that it's not a full stop. But you know, slightly in response to what Andy's saying, you're talking about this friend going in boldness, it's also the earnestness and the heartfeltness of that request, the knowing that there is nothing they can do. And I would challenge all of us, and definitely myself, that I don't always feel that way. Mm-hmm. And that if our prayers are not totally heartfelt, then why should God answer? Why should God, you know, when you're just a bit flippant about something or you just don't really understand? But he can bring you, he can answer in the sense that he brings you round to a different point of view through the pain or whatever it is that you're praying in, that works in a different way to what you're expecting. So the answer may not always be the thing that you want, but it may be something else.
Helpful, Joanna. Thank you.
Thank you. Great.
Good. I'll let you off.
Thank you so much. Thank you.